us, amen, our friend at Agape. We welcome you to the Agape Apostolic Church of Deliverance, where we believe that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, and mostly important, He is. Can we say praise the Lord? Has God been good? Has God been good? Amen. As the praise team was singing that song, I can't go back. Not only I can't go back, but I won't go back to the way it
used to be.
Can we say used to be? Since His presence came and I didn't change myself, but His presence came and changed me. And on Friday evening, our service dealt with invoking the presence of God. Somebody might ask, well, why would I want to invoke God's presence? Because in His presence is the fullness of joy, and in His right hands, the Lord lets us know there are pleasures evermore. So we just praise the Lord this afternoon. Amen. We only have to do three things. One of three things to invoke God's presence. Thing number one, Bob said, without faith, it is impossible to what? So thing number one is faith. Amen. And thing number two is worship. Amen. Even the Canaanite woman, though the Lord seemed to ignore her and wasn't paying her any attention, the Bible lets us know when she called out to Jesus, He answered her not a word. But He did address those that were in the vicinity, but not her. And as He addressed them, He said, I'm not sent but to the lost house of the sheep of Israel. But then the woman did something, even though she wasn't a Jew. And she had no rights at that time to salvation, because salvation had not yet been presented to the Gentiles. The Bible says she fell down and worshiped at His feet. And then when she fell down and worshiped, she had God's attention. Amen. Initially, He spoke to the apostles and the disciples. Then He spoke directly to her. He said, it's not meet for me to hear the children's food to the dogs. Amen. So she got His attention. And the last thing, so we first are going to have faith. Then as Minister Simon said, you got to learn to worship. Amen. And then after you worship, the Bible said, let everything. Can I get some help in the house of God? Let everything that has. Amen. I said this last Sunday. I know it's kind of unusual. I said, if you did, stand up. Amen. So glad that none of y'all stood up. Amen. But it said, let everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Amen. So praise brings God's presence into whatever the situation is. Amen. Don't wait till the battle is over. We need to what? I said don't wait till the battle to be over. God, I don't know how you're going to do it. Amen. I heard Minister Simon's testimony. It came to over $1,000. So I didn't get a chance. Let us stand, amen, for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the book of Luke, chapter 22. Amen. How many know that if it had not been for the Lord, I've done a whole lot to help myself, but if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, amen, Lord, where would I be right now? If it wasn't for the Lord that kept back the death angel, amen. If it had not been for the Lord, where would I be at this time? Amen. We're going to read just two verses of scripture in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. Amen. When we all can get it, can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And for those who do not have it, it is on the screen. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen
thy brother.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon. Oh God, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you for your kindness. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Most of all, we thank you for your anointing. Lord, we realize that the anointing, Father God, can destroy every yoke. Lord, only the anointing can open the eyes of the blind. Lord, only the anointing can open the spiritual deaf ears. Lord, we thank you. Lord, the anointing can set those that are bound free. Father God, the anointing can give joy to those who are in sorrow. Lord, so this afternoon we pray for the anointing. Lord, send down your anointing. Lord, send down your help, Lord. Hallelujah, because we can't do anything, Lord, until you come. Now, Lord, we ask this, can we all say in Jesus' name?
Yes.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I was glad when they said unto you, let us go into the house of, amen. I was glad this afternoon when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. And the psalmist, I believe in the same chapter, said, he said, my foot well, not set. My steps were almost gone. In other words, he said, I almost messed up. Anybody almost messed up sometimes?
I'm going to put up both hands.
But God. He said, my foot well, not set. My step was almost gone. I almost messed up. He said, but then I went into the sanctuary. Then understood I, hallelujah, those traps that the adversary had set for me. But it was until I went into the, that's why I said, well, I was glad when somebody said it to me. Let us go into the house of the Lord, for in his presence is the fullness of, amen. Somebody said, I just don't have any joy. I don't have peace of mind. Because you haven't invoked God's presence. Because when you get God's presence, and when God shows up, you know, there's a whole lot of pleasure in things. The Bible says that Moses refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a. So sin does have pleasure. But the problem with that pleasure is only for a season. Amen. But when we get the pleasure of the Lord, when we get the joy of the Lord, that is forever. So there's some things that has pleasure, but they're short-lived. Amen. And those things that cause pleasure, when you change from this life to the next life, you got those things behind. But when we get the pleasure that God gives, amen, it said it abides forever. That's why I need God's joy. So I got to get in his presence so I can get the fullness. Now your joy is not full because you don't have God. And you don't have his. So the reason that your joy is not sustained or does not continue. You know, you say, I'm so happy, I'm so joyful, and then you see them a few minutes later, and they're so sad. Because you have not yet gotten into the presence of God. And then when you get in God's presence, God in turn will be in your presence. Because the word of God said, if we draw what? Nigh unto him, that he will draw. So then when I get in the presence of God, when I begin to praise and worship, amen. Anybody ashamed to worship the Lord? Anybody ashamed to praise God? Well, he said, well, you be ashamed of me.
Come on.
I'll be ashamed. Amen. So it's hard, hallelujah, to get the fullness of joy when you don't have boldness to worship and praise God. I praise Him all the time. Hallelujah. I praise Him before the sinners.
All right.
And I praise Him before the saints. Now, a lot of us have had too much trouble praising Him before the saints. But then other one, when you got to praise Him before the sinners, we get a little reluctant.
Come on.
Amen. We don't want to praise God like that. Well, that's when you need God the most. Is when you don't have the presence of God in the saints. So that's when you need to praise Him, because when you praise Him in the midst of confusion, then God shows up. And then God does an exchange. You know what He does? He takes all those heartaches, all those headaches, all those pains. Yes, all that pain. You know, a lot of us, I said, I wasn't supposed to go this way, but can y'all bear with me for a few minutes? Amen. Just bear with me for a few minutes, then we'll get back on the message. But can I be led?
Yeah.
A lot of us like to fake it. You ever see those people fake it? You know, I've seen people, like, ah, yes, God is good, Jesus is good. Then I see them when nobody sees them. That's when it counts the most. When nobody sees you. Then the real you steps out of the menagerie and steps out on the scene. We've learned to fake joy. We've learned to fake happiness. We've learned to fake peace. But the trials of life will bring out the real you. Amen. So don't charade. Don't masquerade. Don't hide behind temporary joy and peace, behind temporary salvation. But can we get the Lord as well? Keep God as well. Whatever. Stop hiding. Stop putting on that front. Amen. Stop putting on the show. Because the Bible says that God said, not as man said. Amen. We're shouting and jumping and running. God said, okay, I like your body exercise, but body exercise profited little. When God looks at us, He said, I'm looking for godliness. Because with godliness, there's profit and there is great gain. The reason that we don't have all of our joy is because we haven't kept God involved. And godliness brings great gain. Amen. Somebody say, get back to the word. Luke 22:31. And the Lord said unto Simon, you know, that's what they call in court a sidebar. That doesn't have nothing to do with the trial. Amen. That's just getting us that's just getting our appetites wet. Amen. Now let's go to court. Amen. Now we're about to present this thing before the judge. Amen. So, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as. You know what the Lord is telling Simon? He said, the devil's planning on tearing you up. The devil, as we read not too long ago, I believe it's in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, said, the Satan is going to try to wear out the saints of God. Well, in the Old Testament, he was wearing them out. In the New Testament, he was sifting them as wheat. It ultimately means the same thing. His desire is to wear you out. Well, how is he going to wear you out? Through trials. Amen. So he said, he's desired. You know what he's saying? He said, now, you don't realize this, and that's why it's so important that we stay in good tune with God. He said, you don't realize this, but in the spiritual world, Satan was bringing accusations against you. Because he is the what? Accuser of the brethren. So he said, but in this accusation, he wants me to release some of your protection that he may destroy you. Amen? How many of us still tonight, the devil has today, this afternoon, that the devil has a desire to destroy every last one of us, but first, thank God for first. Can we say thank God?
Thank God.
from verse 32. Verse 32 said, but I have, you know, that's special. He said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Our message today is don't let your faith fail. Amen. Don't let your faith fail. The Lord said, now, the devil has asked permission. How many know anything that happens to us, he first gets permission. The devil can't do anything to us without permission. Amen. So he's asking the Lord for permission to work on Peter. So he said, now, Peter, I'm going to let him work on you. He said, but what I'm going to pray for is not that you make it to the end, but I'm just going to pray that your faith does not fail. Hallelujah. The Lord knew and understood that without faith, we can't make it in this life. Because without faith, it would be what if possible to please God. Now we're going to sing here for just a minute. Where is your faith? Today, where is your faith? Amen. Where are you at in God? Are you weak in faith? Or as you and Abraham, are you strong in faith? Well, what is the representation of strong faith? Not staring at God's promises through unbelief. That's strong faith. Amen. Lord, you know my faith, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I do know that you're going to fix it. Faith is I don't know how, I don't know when. Lord, all I know is that you're going to do it. Somebody said, well, when is he going to do it? In his own time. God is perfect in all of his ways. Amen. God knows what things we have need of before. You know, sometimes, you know, we all like to do this. We go to God and tell God all that he said in the Bible that he wrote, that he knew our character, that he knew was there before we got here. Amen. Sometimes when trials get bad, we start trying to remind God what he already knows. Anybody do that sometimes? Say, well, Lord, you said this. He already knows. He already knows the situation. As a matter of fact, in his timetable and on his time card, he already has the event that's going to happen in your life recorded. Because he knows that what is from the beginning. So, brothers and sisters, this afternoon, don't be discouraged, we ain't be encouraged. Even though it feels like the bottom is falling out, amen, seem like there's no hope, he already knew that this day was going to come. Because he knew the end from the beginning. But what that verse in Isaiah 46:10 is, he said, but I shall perform my good pleasure. Amen, so just be strong. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your hope. Amen. How many this afternoon, I don't want you to raise your hand. I just want you, this is for you to meditate on for yourself. How many of you feel like you're in the worst condition that you could ever possibly be in? That things now are worse than they ever were before. If you feel like that, let's go to Job chapter 1. Amen. Job chapter 1. You feel like the whole bottom is falling out, and right now, Lord, I can't look up because all my trials have beat me down so low that I don't even have a mind, hallelujah, to look up. Amen. We're not going to go through all of this. I'm actually going to start in verse 20. But I just give you, just for those that don't know it, the book of Job is one of the greatest allegories of God that was ever written. It deals with the law, it deals with righteousness, and it deals with grace. Amen? The book of Job. But Job was the richest man in the East. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And in one day, he lost everything. The richest man in the East, and I don't want to go through all of that, you can read it in your spare time. The Bible says he had 7,000, I believe, sheep. He had 500 yoke of oxen, which means 2, which means he had at least 1,000 oxen. And he had 500 camels. And the Bible said one messenger after another came to say, I was with this and that's gone. Amen. So he lost everything. And then finally, he said, your sons and daughters were in the house. And the wind came and smote the four corners of the house, and the house fell in, and all 10 of them died. All in what? One day. Amen. But when your faith is strong and your confidence is in God, that brings us to verse 20 of that chapter. And it reads, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. As bad as things got, Job did not leave God out. When he had all of the bad news, he still worshiped. The devil knows many times when things get so bad for us, we will stop worshiping God. Amen. That's a lot to lose. He was the wealthiest man in the whole East. Lost everything, including his children. But he still had a mind to worship. What things is stealing God's worship from us today? What trial is still in worship? Amen. Then verse 21 said, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has. Then he praised the Lord. So he worshiped and he praised, which is symbolic that he had faith. Amen. Faith will not allow us to succumb to the trials, but we'll be strong. It said, then he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He praised God. Amen. Now he said, right about then, he said, that's about, it can't get any worse than that. Amen. You go from the richest to the poorest and all these funerals in one day, but the devil was not finished yet. Amen. He still was determined to break God. Chapter 2, verse 1. Amen. Can we take a few minutes and just teach it as well? Amen. Because it's so important when we leave today. We need, amen, to be strong in faith. Remember the Lord prayed for Simon? He said, Simon, Simon, I pray that your faith, our request this afternoon is, Lord, don't let our faith fail. Amen. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present themselves before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, where you coming from? He said, I've been just going looking for somebody else that I can accuse. They're walking to and fro me. He's just looking for somebody who's messing up so he can accuse them. Verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is, he was special to God, but he still went through. Don't think because you're going through something this afternoon that you're not still special to God. There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and hates evil, and still, Job did not lose it. Who's talking about him? God. Now remember, when God sees us, he doesn't see us as everybody else sees us. So God has looked at Job. He's seeing all the turmoil, the hardship, the anguish that Job has already gone through. But then God said, but I see his heart. And this is what he said. And still he holded fast his integrity, even though you're making me do something against him without cause. Hallelujah. We've been through one thing. Amen. And here comes another. After we finish that thing, here comes another. Well, what's happening? The devil is trying to sift you as wheat. He's trying to wear you out. He's trying to break you down because his desire is to make you ultimately turn your back on God. God forbid. Hallelujah. I don't care what the trial is. I don't care what the test is. Don't lose your faith in God. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how many things you go through, don't lose your faith in God. The devil's telling, he said, now you've done all that against Job. He said, now you moved me to destroy him without cause. He said, but still, he didn't lose faith. Amen. The next verse read, and Satan answered the Lord and said, I bet you won't let me go a little bit further. Amen. How many of us this afternoon is he trying to go a little bit further? Trying to make us deny the Lord God that brought us out. Hallelujah. And the same answer said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. You know what he's saying? He said, those other tests didn't work. So now I got to touch your body. If I got to try to rob you of your health so that your dependency would be like Asa, more on the physicians than on God. So he said, you know what? Let me start messing with that body. Let me touch something in that flesh. I guarantee you, that'll break them. Amen. How many has he gone a little bit further? Touching our very body. Amen. Said, but put forth thine hand there and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. The devil, he has no mercy, and he can care less about any of you. Only God loved us enough that he gave his only begotten Son, that we should have a right to the tree of life. Amen. And the Bible said, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. God has unconditional love. Can we say unconditional love? It means when you mess up, God still loves you anyway. When you make mistakes, God still loves you anyway. Amen. When you have let God down, God does not get mad at you. And even though you turn your back on God, he won't get angry at you. He has unconditional love. He said, even if you backslide, my unconditional love says I'm married to the backslider. God's unconditional love. There's not a place that we can get to that God won't come and see about us. But what makes the difference in the situation is our faith. Because what faith will cause us to do, faith will cause us to embrace. Faith will cause us to hold on and not let go. So the devil knows. He said, now let me start messing with their flesh. Their substance didn't get it. Anybody lost some stuff, lost some money, lost some stuff? Now he started to mess with our flesh. Well, why is he doing it? Because he's trying to make you curse God. Amen. The next verse reads, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, He is in. He said, now you can tell everything, but I have the power of life and death. That's why I'm saying anything that's happening in your life right now, God knows it. And if it's from the adversary, he had to get permission. So there's nothing that any of us are presently experiencing that God doesn't know. So God said, I give you permission to touch his flesh, but you cannot touch his life. The devil wanted to destroy Job to the point that he killed him. But God set up a buffer zone. He said, you can go this far, but no further. Hallelujah. Because I'm God. Whatever you are going through, Minister Simon said, has it what kind of date? Expiration date. Eventually, it's going to turn around if you don't move your faith. Amen. I've seen so many people turn their back on God because of what they're going through. When God is the only one that loves us unconditionally. Only God loves us unconditionally. The lies, the backbiting, all the trouble we start, God says, just come unto me. I still love you. Amen. Slipped into drugs, alcoholism, and all kind of ungodliness. God says, come unto me, I still love you. Anyhow. God said, I died so that you can live. How many know he died so we can live? He says it this way, I came that you might have.
Life.
Come on. I came that you might have.
Life.
And that you might have it. God doesn't give us cheap life if you don't lose your faith. But the elements, the things that are happening in our lives, the devil is being effective because some of us are beginning to fade, to distance ourselves from the only one that loves us. I'm gonna have, we can do it better. How many of you have kids, grandkids? If you got kids and grandkids, doesn't it frustrate you when your children won't listen to you, but will listen to someone else that you know don't care about them? Amen. You say, I love you.
Yes.
I'm responsible for you being here. I will never tell you anything to hurt you. Why won't you listen to me? Anybody been through that?
Yeah.
I had a Justin. Amen. I had a Tanya. When they were little. Amen. But you ask, why don't you listen? I love you. And you ask me the question, do you think I would tell you anything wrong? Do you think I would tell you anything to hurt you? Well, why? Because I'm your parent. And I love you unconditionally. Well, do you know that God is bigger than that? So in the midst of what you're going through, God is looking at you in your situation and he said, why are you listening to that? But I love you anyway. God said, why are you being persuaded to go that way? And you know that I love you anyway. That is a question that we all have to address this afternoon. Are we drifting from God because of the trials? I don't have the job anymore. I don't have the money, the house, the car, the maid, whatever it is. What is the tool, the mechanism, the device that the adversary is using to cause us to lose faith in God? Not faith in the church, not faith in the pastor. We talk about God. Because the Bible says, when a man weighs, please, Lord, he will make even your enemies be at peace. Well, right now, Job is trying to please God. The next verse reads, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and spoke Job with sore boils. Anybody ever had a boil? Okay, we'll make it easy. How about a pimple that just aggravated you? Well, this is Job's body now. He spoke him with sore balls from what? The sole of his foot to the. His whole body was covered with thorns. Amen. And he took him potsherds and scraped himself with all, and he sat down. He was so bad. His situation was, now, we're not dealing just with the mental agony of losing everything and all those funerals. Now we're dealing with the physical stuff. Amen. When this talk working, it was bad when it was in my mind. Amen. But now it's in my body. Lord, have mercy. I need some help, Lord. Please help me. The devil's trying to break your brothers and sisters. Refuse to lose your faith. It got so bad that his wife said unto him, you still holding on to God? You still have faith in God? You holding fast your integrity in God? She said, look, we lost everything. You gotta watch those people when you already going through some stuff. You don't need those toxic relationships. That's gonna mess you up worse. Said, well, this has been my friend for years. If it's toxic, you don't need it. I said, if it's toxic, you don't need it. His wife, who should have known Job better than anyone, said, you still holding on to God? Those that are close to you will not always give you the best advice. Those that are close to you will not always, in the midst of your situation, give you the answer to increase your faith. His wife said, why don't you curse God and... You know what she said? She said, I'm tired of going through this with you. Well, who's going through it?
Job.
She tells him to curse God and die. This is what's called being sifted as wheat. You know what? When they throw the wheat up, they separate the chaff from the wheat. So every time they throw it up in the air, the wind blows, and it blows away more of the waste. That's the part that you're not supposed to use that now they commercialize and use. But back then, they would throw it up, the wind would blow away what wasn't useful. It would be called the refuse of the waste. What the devil was trying to do is not only destroy the waste, but to destroy the very element of Job's faith through trials. And when everything else failed, he said, let me start working on those aches and pains in the body. Amen. And then when he thought he would get comfort, he got trouble. The next verse reads, now this is his wife, what he said unto her, thou speakest as, this is what happens when you have faith. You don't let anybody or anything kill your faith. I don't care who it is or what it is. You don't let it destroy your faith. He said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What shall we receive? What? Good. Job's faith was still there. He said, shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all that Job went through, he said, did not sin with his lips. Sometimes when we go through stuff, we just start rattling off some stuff. Amen? I got a quiet church. Somebody said, change to another position. I can't change. I got to stay where we are. Because a lot of our faith is being challenged and overthrown by what we're going through. And what we're going through, we're beginning to listen to those voices that are pushing us away from God. Don't push us away from church. Pushing us away from the only help. The Bible said, this poor man cried, and the Lord, you gotta cry to God. Some of our situations are so bleak and so dismal. The only way that we can get true change is through God. Amen. You're being sifted. You're being torn. You're being pulled. Amen. You're being stretched. You're being pulled in every direction. Try to break your faith. Say, well, those people close to me won't do that. Yes, they will. When they don't understand the direction that your God is taking you in your life, you have to have a one-on-one relationship with God. Because what will work for Sister So-and-so, God might not intend that to work for you. What will work for Brother So-and-so, God does not intend that for that to work for you. When God looks at every last one of us in our situation, He's only looking at your faith. Whatever you're experiencing this afternoon, when God looks at your situation, He's only looking at your faith. Amen. The Bible says this. How many feel as though, God, I'm giving you my all? The scripture says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the what? God's constantly looking in the world to show Himself. God will deliver you. God will help you. To show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose God looks in our hearts. God can deliver you. God can help you. But the reason that He has not yet done it is because the heart is not yet right. To deliver those whose hearts are what? Perfect toward Him. We're not going no further than that. Today, the question is, how is your heart? You know, we all, I love all my kids, I love all of you, all my children, but what about your relationship with God? Amen? Yes, you, your wife, you love your husband. Husband, you love your wife. Your parents love your children and everybody else. But what is your relationship towards God? Is your heart perfect towards God? In other words, when God looks at you, because the Bible says that He doesn't see as we see. We look at the what? We just look at what we see. But God has those piercing eyes that look beyond the flesh into the soul and the spirit. And when God looks in our souls and spirits, He said, your faith is waning. Your faith is declining. You're doubting me more than believing me. You run from me more than running to me. So God said, even though I'm here as a security to help you, I cannot yet help you until I get your heart where it needs to be. Today, God examines every last one of our hearts. And in examining our hearts, how many blessings are denied because we haven't yet got it right in our hearts? Amen. There are times I cry before God and I pray before God because I say, God, you know what? I never want my heart to get messed up. I never want to be in a place where I see me, then God. I always want to see God and everybody else, and then me. So I constantly ask God, God, please examine my heart. I don't want to live on this earth and be in church all these years. And in the latter years, wind up lost because I allow some stuff to start growing in my heart. That's why the Bible talks about a root of bitterness. That little root, when it begins to grow, will destroy you. So this afternoon, God searches our hearts. And the thing about God searching your heart, I don't care. You know, there's not an x-ray machine that can reveal the contents of your heart. But how does God search our hearts? The Bible says the word of God is what? Quick and powerful, and is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it's a discerner. What?
The word of God.
Is a discerner of the thoughts and the
intent.
So when we come to church, you know why a lot of people don't come to church? Because they feel so convicted or condemned by what they've been doing that they don't want the word to find them out. That's why people that should be here are not here, because their life is not in harmony. And when they come to church, the word will find them out. Brothers and sisters, if you ever get error, going in or going the wrong way, keep coming to church, because God can find you out. But the reason that some good, faithful people aren't here now, they know the word of God will find them out. So you say, well, you said you were coming. Well, I was coming, but you know what? They say, you know what? The heart is not right. So because the heart is not right, I'm not going to go have God exposing me. Amen. So I'm going to stay in my discomfort. I'm going to stay in my sin. I'm going to stay in my condition that I'm in. It's time for us to say, Lord, search me, O God, as we stand. And the ministers and all the team come forward. Search me, O God, and know my the eyes of the Lord. Right now, when you know, it's not important what we think or what anyone else thinks. Right now, God is reading your heart. It's so important, brothers and sisters, saints and friends, that when God looks at our heart, he said, it's well with his soul. I don't know what anyone has gone through, and I don't know your life, your past history, I don't know the chaos and the problems, but I do know that God is faithful. And wherever you are, God can help you if you surrender. A lot of us want God to help us, and we're telling God how to do it. God won't move until you surrender. Until you give to him. Now, what I'm like, a young man came up to me this morning. He said, Pastor, I want to get baptized this week. Come on up, Jordan. We're going to pray for you. Come on up. He said, I want to get baptized this week. And he had to go through his salvation plan, but he knows he needs God. He didn't say, I want to get baptized eventually. He said, I want to get baptized this week. Amen. So we're going to have the elders and the ministers anoint him and pray for him. And it's a wonderful thing. For a young person, I said it's a wonderful thing for a young person to realize that he is saved. You know what he's saying? I can't make it without God. You don't pray for us. I can't make it without God in my life. My question this afternoon, if a young man can realize that and realize that I need God not next year or tomorrow, he said, but I need him right now. Hallelujah. How many of us this afternoon can get off of our high horse and cry? How many of us can get off our own self-will and self-will and say, Lord, I need you right now this year? Listen, God knows everything there is about you. God knows the secret in you. It's time for us.